Heavenly Father, this sermon has certainly been a challenge to me this week. It's nothing new. We all know it. But to put yourself in that position, in that crowd, while it's happening, is not easy, to say the least. So Lord, would you get me out of the way and just speak this morning? Lord, we're all listening. We need to hear your voice, not mine. Lord, we thank you once again for your presence here with us. And we lift up this time to you, and to your holy name, Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. I'm going to read from, continue on reading from Luke chapter 23, starting with 26. I'll give you a second to get there. Luke 23:26. Now as they led him away, they laid hold of a certain man, Simon, a Cyrenian, who was coming from the country, and on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. And a great multitude of the people followed him, and women who also mourned and lamented him. But Jesus, turning to them, said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For indeed these days are coming in which they will say, 'Blessed are the barren wombs that never bore, and the breasts which never nursed.' They will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things in the greenwood, what will they do in the dry?" There were also two others, criminals, led with him to be put to death. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, they crucified him. And the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." And they divided his garments and cast lots, and the people stood looking on. But even the rulers with them sneered, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Christ, the chosen of God." The soldiers also mocked him, coming to offer him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." And an inscription also was written over him in letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew: "This is the King of the Jews." Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." But the other answering, rebuking him, saying, Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." When he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Now it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour, when the sun was darkened and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And when Jesus cried out a loud voice, he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Having said this, he breathed his last. So when the centurion saw what had happened, he glorified God, saying, "Certainly this was a righteous man." And the whole crowd came together in that sight, seeing that what had been done, beat their breasts and returned. But all his acquaintances and the women who followed him from Galilee stood at a distance watching these things. Now behold, there was a man named Joseph, a council member, a good and just man. He had not consented to their decision. Indeed, he was from Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who himself was also waiting for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen, and laid it in a tomb that was hewn out of rock, where no one had ever lain before. That day was the preparation and Sabbath, and the Sabbath drew near. And the women who had come with him from Galilee followed after, and they observed the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and fragrant oils, and they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment. What I'd like to do this morning is kind of go back and account for almost everything that happened in this reading. So what was the first thing that we heard about? We heard about Simon, this guy coming in from the countryside, and they asked him to carry his Jesus' cross. Why? Why would this guy, I mean, just think about it. You're just heading into Pagosa. I just got to go grab something. And all of a sudden, somebody pulls you aside and makes you haul something for somebody. I read a commentary on this. Some have said that this was God maybe giving Jesus a respite a little bit, letting him rest a little bit on the way up the hill. Someone said, you got to look at the Roman culture at that time. This was a show. And they wanted, we can't think of it in terms of us today. We have to look at it in terms of the Roman times when they watched people die all the time. And it was a spectator sport. And they thought, well, this guy's going to die right here on the road. We can't have that. We got to be able to crucify him. So we're going to have somebody else carry the cross for him. Just an interesting commentary. Whether that's true or not, I have no idea. Jesus spoke to the woman on the way. He spoke to the women on the way. This guy is barely breathing at this point. And they're lamenting and weeping for him. And what does he say? Don't you weep for me. The day is coming. He's more worried about them than he is about himself. He was mocked and spat on. The very people he loved, the rulers, the Romans, all these people mocking him, spitting on him. Can you imagine that? I mean, we're kind of coming to that day now, but I digress. But yeah, some of this stuff I try to get in their head a little bit and try and figure out where is this going, what are they doing, but it's hard. And they thought they were righteous in doing so. Jesus was crucified. I think part of that we can gloss over sometimes. Jesus was crucified. Well, let's put some words to that. It's not like some guy took his cordless Milwaukee and went out and put a 16-penny nail through his feet. These guys were using hammers, and like, I'm gonna guess now. This is my guess. Like a 3/4 by 3/4, probably 8 inches long, square nail through his feet and chained. Now imagine that. A little bit different. Pain that you and I have never experienced. Except maybe CC in his back. He was crucified between two criminals. They tried so hard to make him look like a criminal. Was he? Why? Isaiah 53:12 says, and he was numbered among the transgressors. That's prophecy. Now it says that there was one on his left and there was one on his right. Why was Jesus in the middle? Is that a little bit of symbolism?
Most important.
I'm just asking the question. I don't know. You know, some of the stuff they is in here that we'll never know until we see him. And then we can ask the question. One of them blasphemed him. Said, why aren't you saving yourself if you truly are the Son of God? Save us. Save yourself and us. He wanted to save his own life. He wanted to go back to his old life. And the other one showed complete humility. He wanted, not wanted, he knew he was guilty. He knew he was getting his just reward. Even chastised the other one. Yeah, that's some... These guys are in serious pain right now. So Jesus cries out his last. He says, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Some things happened after that. There's an earthquake. Darkness for three. It says the whole earth was dark for 3 hours. Happened right in this span of time. The veil, the temple veil between the Holy of Holies was torn in two. From the top down to the bottom. Does anybody know how big the temple veil is?
It's huge.
Like 12 inches.
It was about 30 feet tall, I believe.
30 foot by 30 foot. From the top down. Matthew 27:52, in his account, he says that there were saints that were raised from the dead, came out of their graves and went into the town. And then he leaves it right there, like a big cliffhanger for us. Can you imagine that? Many, and seen by many people. That's kind of a big deal.
No kidding.
Coincidences? All just a big coincidence, right?
Well, you might could say the eclipse of the sun made it dark, and that was a coincidence, or you know, a couple of the others. But people being raised from the dead and walking into town, I don't think is in any shape, form, or fashion the definition of a coincidence.
Yeah.
That's a miracle.
Yeah, miracles. Yeah, that's what I would say.
There is no such thing as coincidence. Yeah. It's a made up word.
Right.
God has a purpose for everybody and everything.
Right.
Amen. Yeah. What do others say? Has ever heard anybody else try and explain things away? What do they say?
They just say, like you said, it's coincidence, random set of events.
Yeah. Yep. Just happened. Just so happened to happen at the very moment. But I digress.
Or that it's made up.
Yeah.
Well, all that really didn't happen.
Very good.
Yeah. Right. It's
even though there are multiple accounts, you know,
right.
Really, you know.
Yeah.
It's good for that.
Yeah. So when all these things had happened, it says that the centurion saw what had happened, and he glorified God. People were moved by this whole thing. People were watching, like his disciples and all his followers were watching this whole thing. And people were moved. Can you imagine being one of these Pharisees, saying all these things, spitting on him, calling him names, swearing at him? And now all of a sudden, all those prophecies that these guys have been reading in Isaiah, and the Psalms. Now it's happened, and all that stuff's coming to mind. Wait a second. Being in the temple, and all of a sudden this curtain comes down, ripping from the top to the bottom. How do you explain that? You don't. They were there. They witnessed it. They believed. They repented. No different than Peter. I mean, can you imagine Peter when the cock crowed the third time? How utterly broken he must have been. I mean, I just can't, my mind can't even go there. I can't do it. How utterly broken you must be when that finally, when you finally hear that. I mean, this guy was right there, but anyway, I don't want to get off on a tangent here. Prophecies were fulfilled. I'm going to read Psalm 22, 15 to 18 real quick. If you want to turn there, you can. If not, I'll read it. Psalm 22, 15 to 18. It says, my strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue clings to my jaws. You have brought me to the dust of death. For dogs surround me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I can count my bone, all my bones. They look and stare at me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. How many years prior was this written? A few years? Yeah. Casting lots for his clothing. Wouldn't drink the wine. Said he wouldn't taste of the fruit of the vine until he was with them in heaven. His legs weren't broken. You know where that was at? His legs were not one bone was broken. I can't remember where that was at.
Well, I think it's also right here in the Psalms too.
Pierced for our transgressions. That's another one.
You know why they broke their legs.
Yeah, so kill them faster.
So they couldn't hold themselves up. They could breathe.
And they would die of suffocation on the cross.
Yeah, right.
But yeah. They might die a lot faster.
Right. Yep.
But they didn't break it, so it would take longer. Suffer longer.
Yep. He laid down his life. Never said a word. All these things were prophesied way in advance. So all these things happened, and much more. I mean, we're just hit, you know, the tip of the iceberg. So my question to you is that all these things happened. Why?
And to save us.
Amen.
Just to save us. Believe in what he's done.
I think, in my opinion, I was having this conversation with Sasha this week. Feels like it carries so much more weight if you say for me. Even if it was just me.
Bingo.
Sitting here in all of my sin and filth. It was because of me.
He did that because he wanted a relationship with you and you. Yeah, you too. Everyone. Dee. He wanted a relationship with you. Craig, Tyson, Dawn, every single one of you guys. He wanted a relationship with you. He wanted to create a path, a direct path between himself and you. For David, Don, Larry. D. I apologize, I don't know.
I'm Nesta.
Ryan. Nesta. You guys. Everyone, every single person in here, he did that so that he could talk directly to you. Now what does it look like? It's kind of powerful. All right, well, praise be to God. Let's gather up and we'll pray for one another.